So, when I cut this thing on, I was all fired up to talk about how I'm not a victim of slavery, how I'm not a victim of any white supremacy or white systematic racist system. I had responded to a post earlier today and I had the energy, but now the energy has waned. I just can't maintain that enthusiastic energy, and I know I need to change my background. But the whole point is that I was motivated to get on here and say something. And the other day I said something about religion, and it had been a few years since I, poked my head into that discussion publicly. And I kind of woke up today, ran across something that had me motivated, and it just flailed. It just went away. I don't care no more. First, I was going to talk about how I'm not a victim of slavery. I'm not a victim of any systematic racism. And I really don't identify with, I don't want to say I don't identify with the George Floyd's situations of the world, because the situation is so sensitive right now. And I really just don't want to get into a confrontation, basically because of apathy. I really just don't care. I mean, I really just don't care. Maybe I'm separated from the situation. Maybe I'm in a different class of being black or being African American or whatever. But to put me, and no matter how much I watch TV and I see people crying, I understand how deep it is and how important it is. I just don't identify. That's not part of my world. I don't see that. I don't see that, and I have not experienced that. So, and I'm not the kind of person who's gonna run out and just jump on a bandwagon or empathetic or compassionate or sympathetic to something I've seen that happens halfway across the world. Very rarely am I affected like that. So unless it's in my face, I don't wanna say that. I don't wanna say unless it's in my face, I don't care about it, because that's probably not true. But I can see how what I'm saying could be interpreted that way. I also have been into a Mr. Thomas Sowell, who uses data and statistics to show that a lot of the things that the black leadership and the white liberals inflict on black people, a philosophy that it's not their fault, they're a victim of this, poor you, affirmative action, welfare state. Mr. Sowell, through data and statistics, has shown, or tried to show, when black people came out of slavery, they were doing well. The family was together. That means it was two parents in the household. Regardless of how you feel, if that makes a better family or not, a lot of people believe two-parent household is probably the root of the black problem right now. It was two-parent households. Black people were doing good right after slavery. And I'm not sure how it went up into the Jim Crow era or what happened, but along came government programs and welfare and affirmative action and other things that broke up the black family and made the black family dependent on the system and government. And these programs were put in place in good faith. They weren't trying to hurt any. It wasn't about keeping black people down. It was done in good faith, but it had unforeseen repercussions. People understood that, oh, daddy can't be in the house and we can get this money. And it broke, they say something like that broke up the black family. See, I'm just not into it right now. I'm just like, whatever. I'm just trying to, I'm not even post this. I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. I don't really care anymore. And I think that's what it comes down to. I just don't really care. I'm somewhere else. And it's not like I don't care, I hate them, or they're not, it's none of my business. It's just that I'm just not motivated. It's like, on Sunday, Pittsburgh plays. That's the game I watch. I don't really care about the Vikings game. I don't hate the Vikings. They're cool and everything, but I just don't care about it. I just want to see my Steelers. So as I watch TV and Don Lemon and Van Jones and everybody and out there fighting the battle for black people and all these white liberals and white people sympathetic towards the cause of black people and at work, just email after email after email about inclusion and allyship and intersectionality and this and that. And now we're going to help out the Asians. No, we're going to protect the Asians. That's just not where I'm at. That's just literally not where I'm at. And I don't want this to come off like I'm mad at it or mean at it, or if, I'm not even saying to stop doing it. It's just not where my motivation is. My motivation is at the other end of the scale, I like to say. What about those of us who are beyond that? What about those of us Black people who are beyond that, past that? All that's behind us and not even in our minds anymore. Who's developing ideas and a path for us? Minorities who have assimilated, quote unquote assimilated, who don't see any of this injustice, who basically hang around white people who like Black people more than Black people like Black people. No, I take that back. There are some Black people who love Black people so tremendously much that it clouds their vision and their perception of anything that happened. And then the news media plays up to it. Don Lemon and them and CNN, they just pump it. It's just, I turn on CNN and Don Lemon, and he's just, it's just so, I mean, it's not news, number one. And I understand that. It's not news. Once you realize it's not news, it's commentary, you know, that takes a lot of the edge off. And so what you're tuning in for, when you tune in to Fox, you're tuning in for that philosophy and that ideal. When you tune in to MSNBC, you're tuning in for that philosophy and that idea. When you tune in to CNN, that's the slant you want on your news. And it's just amazing to me. No, it's not amazing because it's capitalism, because I'm sure CNN, you know, there's people in suits sitting up there looking at the bottom line and they're saying, this is working. This is freaking working. Keep it going, Don. Keep it going. And people tune in to get that shot, to get that whatever it is. Like when Trump was president, oh my God, that we hate Trump. As soon as we wake up in the morning with our coffee, people probably total billions in advertising revenue. And it's, to me, it's being pimped to the people. Like the emotions are being pimped. And I look at the TV and I'm thinking to myself, the population of the United States is 13% Black at the most, maybe 12 or 13%. So that means the NBA, to be reflective of the population, the NBA should be 13% Black. The NFL should be 13% Black. There should be 13% Black coaches in the NFL. 13% of 32 is what? There's 32 teams, so there's 13%. And actually, and it's half of that. Half of those are females. So how many Black males should be as coaches in the NFL? 7%. You watch TV. Another thing I was going to look up today, how many interracial couples are there? When I watch TV, what is this push for interracial couples and diversity? Where's this push coming from? I'm like, where is this coming from? Because I'm going to tell you, Black people don't want it. You talk to quote unquote real Black people, they ain't trying to be with white people. In fact, getting with a white person is like, no, you don't do that. You don't dilute or dilute the race. And it's these white liberals. It has to be white liberals with a little bit of financial power and influence who's pushing this, because it is pushed strong. Every ad, every almost media campaign, you see a Black person and a white person, a mixed couple and mixed kids. It's just, where's that coming from? How big of the population is represented in interracial couples? How much of the population is represented by Asian people? How much of the population is represented by Hispanic people? Does the actual population demographics reflect what we see on TV and what we're going through? And gay people and stuff, homosexuality, whatever, gay people, gay couples. How many percentage of gay couples are in America versus how many percentage of gay couples you see on TV? Or how much marketing to gay and transgender people is there? To me, it seems like it's more than what is actually demographically researched and proven. And for some reason, I'm wondering why somebody out there wants to push this narrative. And I had to think, and so I guess what I came up with was that white people, just like Black people, they're not monolithic. So there are white people who may or may not be progressive. I don't know what the word is. I don't want to put a negative or positive connotation on it. But there might be white people out there who look at other white people as being that kind of not pure Anglo-Saxon, but that mentality, that older white mentality. And they want to diversify that or eliminate that, because I don't think it's black people who want to do that. I don't think it's black people who want to see interracial couples on TV all the time. And I know damn well it ain't black people who want to see gay and homosexual couples on TV. So it has to be white people pushing to get a segment of their own race diluted. It may be even eradicated through evolution. And I could probably see, like, you know, I'm thinking like the JP Morgan's, the old white historical patriarchal, you know, oil and industry type tycoon, cigars and suits and monocle kind of, you know, that old white oligarch or whatever the word is. I could see how a more modern progressive people maybe will want to bring that down, or to alter that, or to evolve that, or don't agree with that and want to, you know, adjust it. And therefore, they're using race and maybe, you know, immigration and diversifying to maybe evolve that away. Because I got no problem with separate but equal. I know it's not, number one, I don't believe in equal. Nothing's ever going to be equal. You can forget that. Equal is schmequal. Forget it. Nothing's going to be equal. It's just out here. Just like racisms and isms and sexisms will always exist. It's just part of the playing field. You got to go get yours and keep going. Police brutality, there's always going to be bad cops. There's always going to be bad doctors. There's always going to be bad lawyers. You'll never get rid of it, no matter how profile you make it. And that leads me to another point, that as far as the killings of black men, there may be a problem with police brutality. There may be a problem with the whole idea of police brutality. And if you stop and think about it, of course they're going to protect their own. Any group is going to protect their own, no matter what. Football teams, basketball teams, no matter what. Gangs, families, whatever. Every team is going to protect their own, regardless of what they're tasked to do or what their responsibility is. You can't fault them for that. And with power comes corruption. And I can see how police can have power and become corrupt. Factor that in with the fact that they're out there in a war zone with people trying to kill them, in neighborhoods where even the people who are on their side are apprehensive about working with them or helping them or even associating with them. And you're gonna develop a we need to protect ourselves. But we also need to do what we need to do to protect the community. And there's gonna be some things that we're gonna need to do that's above or below the law to help the community because of the system, limitations of the system. And there's probably some things that police do that were, you know, way out of line, but actually led to a good in the outcome. So I can see how that behavior, certain behaviors of the police in general could become polluted or corrupt. But since the focus has been put on the killing of black men, and has brought this all to the attention of the world now, if that is what's needed to clean up the police in general, if they need to be cleaned up, I understand how humans work, and that's just sometimes how we get things done. The actual fact that black people being killed by the police in disproportionate numbers, all that being used as a catalyst to clean up the police in general in the long run. When we step back and look at it overall, I can see that, because I don't identify with that narrative either. I've never been mistreated by the police. I've never seen anything, you know, egregious by the police. So I can't identify with that. But if that's the means to the end, in a world where there's no right or wrong, I understand. I understand that's how humans operate. I understand how you operate. If that's the narrative we need to use to fix the police, I get it. I don't agree with the way it's being done, though. I should say, I don't identify with the way it's being done. And I don't want to go into why, because I don't want to deflect from the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is by any means necessary. If we need to use this narrative to get this fixed, I understand it. Even though I don't agree with the narrative that the police are out to kill black men. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe the police are out to kill black men at all. But if that's what we need to use to fix the police, and to me, and if we were just, if they were just, if in fact, if it had just been fix the police, period, you know, without the black thing on it, it probably wouldn't have went nowhere. It got to have some sauce on it. And the sauce was that it was killing black people. And we have these videos and things are beginning to get stirred up. There was a pandemic. Now the whole world's watching Black Lives Matter. It's taken way, way, way off. So when it comes to humans and philosophies and social interactions and all that, there's no straight line. It's just, you just got to sit back and watch the show and see what happens, where it goes. And I get that. But also the whole thing, I think I'm getting random because I'm just like, anyway. So the whole thing is that I'm just not a victim. I don't feel myself to be a victim, and I don't want to be thought of as a victim. I don't want to walk into a meeting at work and people look at me like, oh, how do you feel? Are you okay? Or being extra nice to me. I don't want that at all. I don't want that, period. I'm not that person. I don't give that, and I don't want it. I think that's enough. I'm not really into it, but I'll see how this came out, if I post it or not. Just trying to get back into it. Maybe I'm getting back into it. Maybe I feel like talking now. But I think my angle of discussion will be discussion and not confrontation. Now, what I might do, and I'm telling y'all, I might see one of y'all say something that I don't agree with, and I won't address you directly. I'll go and make a video on my own and shoot it out that way. And I might not even address you, or I might even take your issue right out your mouth and use it over here without mentioning you and go that way to avoid the confrontation. Because the confrontation to me is it was a means to excite and agitate a deeper understanding for myself. And it was fun. I enjoyed it, the back and forth. And somebody comes back at me just as hard as I'm coming at them. It forces me to step up my game or to think of that next thing. And it pushes me in places that I probably couldn't get pushed by myself. So I do want to avoid the confrontation. And I got all this damn equipment set up to do all this broadcast. Is my nose dirty? Let me get something with my nose. And to just talk. I got all this stuff set up now, so I need to say something. Anyway, my name is Jeffrey. Swag on y'all 2 times. And I'm out. Fade. Let's do a fade to black.